It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in.
Do I feel lucky?
It's a man, baby!
I don't know. Steven, you're here.
Yeah.
We're not hearing anyone else. Not hearing Andy.
Okay.
Not hearing Rocky.
We
just heard a bit of a clip again for a second.
Yeah, I could hear Carlin is trying. Somebody is communicating with George Carlin via seance, I believe. That's what's going on right now. they're channeling George. Someone's channeling George. Saint George, we'll call him from now on. Yeah.
Again,
oh, and no, we are not live either. No.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think so. No, no, we're not live. There
you go. Someone confirmed that.
I got someone, someone who heard the first hour apparently says, no, not yet. So apparently we're not live.
Well, this is just one of those days. And he mentioned tech difficulties. It may not have just been me and
okay.
The tardiness of you guys and my issues with the confusion and the. Yeah, well, I was multitasking. That didn't help. But, okay. Well, at this point, we're – okay. Well, maybe Robbie and Andy will take it over and we'll just – yeah.
Maybe so. Yeah, could be, man. Maybe it is. They do hear us. Hey, man, I was mistaken. We are live. It was just, are we live on, are we, I guess so, okay, my source was incorrect, so howdy RBN, it must have been mushrooms in the pizza earlier, I don't know, somebody's tripping, so I'm here, you're here, but Robbie and Andy, well, I can't hear them, I guess that they're not with us anymore, but go ahead, Richard, I'll toss it back to you with that.
And I thought it was just Memorex, Stephen.
Yeah, no doubt. AI is not this good. Yes, they're going to fool you with AI next time, not Memorex.
But we're live. Is it live is it Memorex? See, I'm not that young if I remember that, right?
Exactly. You're telling your age there. Z-Rock. Oh, no, just updated. Okay, I don't understand. All right.
Now, what is your update, Stephen? Share it with the audience.
All right, I'll tell you. If you guys can hear, it's like, no, Stephen, just updated. You and Richard only know, just updated. I don't know how long we've been on or not, but
okay. Well,
we're just kind of live with you two, live with the two of us. Yeah, okay. It's a trial by fire, man. It's just the way it goes, I guess. And I've always enjoyed talking to you, especially on the radio, man. And I know that we have some listeners. You know, this will be maybe even talked about. Some of these people, all that they could talk about was RBN. I noticed a few months ago on alternative quote unquote media, just if they didn't have RBN to make fun of, they would have had no content. You know, that's how important we are. It's like nobody else can do this. Okay. Nobody else does it live and allows free speech or people to actually, you know, have a good time. You know, it seems like, I don't know. I'm just I'm just kind of flabbergasted, Richard. You know, it's a Friday night.
No one else even tries to do it the way many of us do at RBN.
No. Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
you got to be committed, or should be, maybe. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
One or the other. You either got to be committed or should be. But never give up.
We had something going there, though, in that first hour, and I'm not sure how much we were trying to link all these agendas with the thoughts from the panel, but, I mean, it is curious, Stephen. I mean, I have always been on the fence, and more so lately, you know, when I hear more reports questioning well, with just certain history and ties, how, yeah, if any of these nation state leaders could really be rogue at this point. You know, we hit this again and again. And but again, that's why I mentioned that the fact that it was the 50-year anniversary is they needed that. Okay, they had COVID, you know, they had January 6th, they had Ukraine, but they needed to throw something else into the fold. And it was just, okay, there was a desire to wipe out the Gazans of these hardline Likudniks and whatnot. But the timing, you have to admit, it serves multiple purposes. Regardless, I mean, you know, some are these fundamentalists. You know, the fact that it was the 50-year anniversary, that's all it was about, I suppose, on that end. So, you know, I know perhaps it is more a red herring than just being one more layer of the agenda, the October 7th, Stephen. What do you think?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it was 50 years anniversary of the Yom Kippur War there, you know, and that did a lot of things. It issued in the petrodollar pretty much with that, and the oil shocks. Maybe they want to bring more oil shocks about the way they did then. If the Strait of Hormuz gets bottled up, man, you know, oil will be, you know, $200 a barrel for a time anyway. But
perhaps they want to get their war with Iran as a chain reaction from this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well,
war always pushes the buttons and increases the debt, and it'll generally keep whatever political party's in power. That's why Stinky, I think, like I said, is so desperate to get it ramped up so he can stay in power in Israel and avoid prison. That's personal motivation more than the whole apocalyptic thing that's going, that everybody's assuming and pushing too. I mean, they always will push that, and it does. I've never seen it look like this. Like I said, I mean, they're firing test-fire ICBM over there. Everybody said, get out of Israel right now, Iran, get out of Israel and Lebanon, and right, that maybe it won't spill over to Jordan. And all of the diplomats are leaving. And, you know, if Iran had condemned the attack on Damascus, they wouldn't have had the UN had condemned that attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus. They said retaliation wouldn't be necessary. So it's exposing the UN for the BS it is, and the Rockefeller Corporation kind of thing.
I guess I'm suggesting that both are true. You know, there are some compromised individuals for the global gear works and machinations. You know, these people are there simultaneously with these hardliners who really would like these wars to go full throttle. So, I mean, both Iran and Israel have people who want the war, but others who are in power who are there as a steam valve, you know, to try to keep things on track so that, you know, all of the elites keep making money. And the system is so interconnected globally now. I mean, it's not the world we had for World War One and World War Two, and, you know, these people will lose too much money by some of the systems being down, some of these parts of the world being down indefinitely, you know, as far as global trade. And, I mean, you know, the internet basically has changed the face of, well, and we've also had more centralization, you know, of products, services, food. So, I mean, I don't know. For the elites to keep living the way they want to live, they can't really have a third full-on world war, is my theory, but they can certainly make it seem like one.
I'm not sure they believe that they can't keep on living that way there. That's the biggest thing that they ask consultants. I saw several people say that the billionaire class is always asking them, how can I keep people from revolting, or how can I protect myself if they all do? And they, you know, I saw that the bunker builders, okay, we had the bunker builder ad on RBN for a while. That's what they seem to be doing in this. In a sense, it's shock capitalism too. There was this—it's the shock doctrine and disaster capitalism. Basically, what they did with Katrina—they wiped out the bad places that they didn't want people living in anymore. And flooded the thing by blowing the levee. That's what I've been told, and I wasn't there. But you know, you look into that too. That all seems to be part of the agenda. So they're going to take advantage of everything they can to eliminate the people that they don't want, like in Gaza, like you said, or those people in Hawaii, then in Lahaina, or the ranchers in North Texas, whoever you get, put the target up on your back, and then they're going to take you out. It's like a real estate acquisition operation. A lot of the things are all of it, the warfare, and even the George Floyd riots. That's what Catherine Austin Fitz called them. And I think, you know, all this stuff, looking at it from that point of view, from them, you know, doing away with the masses and taking all of their stuff real cheap. That's what the people are good for, man. That's what they always are doing. It's hard to look at it that way, but the ones with all of the power just want more and more. I was thinking about the way things have changed over my lifetime during the day like that. And yeah, go ahead, Richard. Let me.
Well, I mean, Bill Gates talking about how much toward the depopulation agenda vaccines could provide. And yeah. So there, you know, in light of that, I think, you know, Robbie could be on to something. We're hearing that within a decade, the central bank digital currencies will be thoroughly up and running, parallel to any remaining fiat paper currencies out there. And, you know, that with the social credit score will force people, if they want good social credit for other perks in life, to take these shots. And that'll help reduce the numbers, you know, reduce their lifespans. And, you know, just kill various at various time periods and from various vital organs or the turbo cancers or whatever, myocarditis and what have you. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I see those as definitely being related agendas. And, you know, people like Gates, as what we're told, the face of the elite class. Some say the wealthiest, most powerful. You'll never know the names. You'll never see the faces. Nonetheless, we at least have these figureheads, right? And well, Elon is another one who's always, and now, well, Alex taking the torch from George of the Soros legacy, right?
Yeah, and then there are those Medici's that you don't hear about anymore. Some other, you know, it's what function do billionaires serve on this planet? You know, it's like, yeah, I don't know. They always want more. That's the thing. I'm trying, and you know, they're not going to die. I'll take any of it with them when they die. They'll leave it for their legacy, I guess. That's the whole thing, too. I am a person that tries to treat other people the way I want to be treated, okay? That's just the kind of person I try to do, and I fall far short, and I believe in rightful liberty. As long as I'm acting and on my own accord and ain't hurting you, and you do the same to me, then that's the, you know, beyond that, all of this other stuff is superfluous and unnecessary to me, and it gets on my nerves, especially all of this hoodoo magic with the money supply and the creating money out of nothing and all that, and then they want to turn this into cryptocurrency and ephemeralize things even more. Not only the obligations that one human being holds for toward another one, they don't want to just monetize, ephemeralize, tokenize that and play with it. Now, anything else that they can, anything that they can ephemeralize and tokenize, that they will do that, and then you'll trade it like a cryptocurrency, like, what do you call it, a non-fungible token or something. They want to tokenize it all, and that's going to be the new economy. That's the one that all this stuff is headed toward. That's the singularity that these people are really obsessed with. It has nothing to do with their transcendence or anything. It's about just owning it all. Reality. They want to own reality, basically. They want to control the whole matrix. If you think of that movie, The Matrix, that's how Frankenstein crazy these people are, in my opinion. Okay, that's just the way I see it, bro. I'm a thought criminal, though, you know. They called me crazy for a long time, right. And now I'm just a thought criminal.
Yes, but no, there is a transhumanist movement where there are some people who are very much sold on this as being the ticket to eternal life, even, no less, mm-hmm. You know? And for others, just a way to always have an advantage over the other guy in life, if you're one of the ones who gets on this tech bandwagon early. So, I mean, yeah, I, for a lot of what you refer to, I think these other agendas will go along fine without that even needing to be a component. But there are some people who are very, very set on the idea of reading people's minds, controlling the masses through, you know, just digital tweaking. And are just, yeah, there are definitely some people fascinated by this who would like to, and I'm sure... U.S. DARPA and other defense-related tech areas. There are, well, NSA as well, I'm sure. You know, there are a lot of people who are trying to develop this for federal use, Stephen.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, I saw a video earlier today. By the way, guys, I digress a little bit with this question, but if listeners out there are familiar with a video a guy took in San Diego, and it was a couple of FBI agents showed up at his door, knocked on the door, the dog barked, and he started filming whoever it was, and they say FBI, blah blah, and they come out and want to ask him about somebody he met online, and then he's filming, and they won't talk to him while he films, and that's about as. And then it disappeared. Okay, I saw that, and I read the story about it, but you know the Federal Bureau, the instigation is out there doing these kind of things, and I don't know, it's probably just my fried boomer mind or something that can't relocate the story, but I've looked and I've looked and I've looked, and it's almost like it disappeared. It's really weird to me that, and a lot of things have happened along those lines a lot. You know, some stories will disappear on you. I think that we're living in the age of the personalized psyop in a lot of ways. But since I had some people listening now, if any of y'all out there have seen that, please let me know or let somebody know, RBA. You know, that's one I wanted to quote I can't find it, and it's just really weird. It disappeared, and I don't know whether it's my mistake or whether it literally disappeared from the web, because a lot of things have disappeared from the interwebs. One of the things that has almost completely disappeared is the manifesto that was put out by this group that was supposedly rah-rah for Muhammad Atta after 9/11. It was obviously a Mossad, a CIA kind of thing put out when they were going to blame them for the anthrax attacks and use it as an excuse to invade Iraq. And you can't, it's the Soldiers of God or the Army of God, one of those, and they put out this, and you can't find that anywhere anymore. I can't find that anywhere. I bet people out there who are listening remember it, though. I bet Blackbird 9 would know about that. But anyway, that's just, you know, I wanted to utilize the listeners while I could, sir. Thank you.
Yes, and I mean, I was going to ask you just straight out, what does your gut tell you a year from now who will be our president? But then I was going to, interject with, do you really think it'll matter that much on any of these fronts, you know, who we have as our appointed administration for the next 4 years?
Not very much, no. I mean, whoever it is, they're going to stand by whoever the war that they call. And, oh, man, it's all got to – we're a paper tiger, man. It's just there's no way that this – quote, and it's the privatization of the military, you know, and I don't know this – complete destruction of any national one.
Could there be?
Yeah.
Well, could there be a limited Iran war, do you think, that wouldn't expand out of control?
I don't know. I mean, if we saw them block things like the Suez Canal, you know, with the artificial thing with the Evergreen ship, right? Okay, so that was obviously some kind of experiment. We talked about that with the economy, the way it's modeled with all of it. But if the Strait of Hormuz, I heard a guy earlier today say it would take, they'd war gamed how much force it would take to open it if it was closed off again, and there's no, we don't even have that much in the military now. So if Iran really wanted to, they could close it off. Now, would we see a, quote, do you say a limited war? Well, yeah, I don't think we'll see a quote unquote real war. They'll push it as long as they can. You're right. They're trying to boil the pot slowly so they can reap all of the profits. I think they're trying to do that, but at some point things might get away from them, you know? It seems like they want to push it up and, extended. They always have, you know. You think about all of the times and all the different wars when people could have cut and war, patent and the South could have, you know, sued for peace in D.C. And, you know, no, Judah P. Benjamin, that's the one that kept it going in. And, you know, it was Eisenhower and Monty that wanted to keep it going in Europe. By God, we can't let let the Russians get there first. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. There's always more war. War benefits these people. And it's not just, I don't think that they just make war war by way of deception. It's like everything is done by way of deception, living by way of deception. One of those, Shakespeare supposed to have said, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And it's like medicine is a deception. Your money is a deception. Everything is just deception, and they want to deceive you to get it. Something over on you. If I could trick you, then good for them. And I kind of live by the opposite code, man. I'm sorry, okay? That's just the way I am. It's the way I lived, the way I was raised, I guess, or at least what I've learned from the hard way, from hard experience, that the way when I bully somebody, I have power over. That's the thing I have felt the worst about in my whole life, no matter what it was. And failing to meet up to my responsibilities bothers me. Some of the other people, the more they can avoid them, the better that they feel. And, you know, I've let this thing beat me down a long time. And it's the only difference I've ever been able to make is looking in the mirror and saying, look, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do something different. And I am slowly doing things different. But I have this code, you know. I am not going to harm somebody else. It's like a rightful liberty is a definition to me where if I'm not harming you, leave me alone. And if I don't harm, if you don't harm me, I'll leave you alone. So like that's just the best I can do. I've thought I'm going to be 64 these years old this year. And that's the only thing I've really learned in this life. You know, do as you'd be done unto, man. That's all. And anything else is gravy. You know, as long as I try, instead of
so more like Eastern, I kind of lean mm-hmm. more toward that as well, like Eastern philosophy, mm-hmm. karmic sort of.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. As long as I'm putting blame out there and pointing that finger at somebody else, then I got three pointing back at me. I need to look and see what I'm doing, and I try to tell the truth if I can. You know, and the truth ain't too pretty about me a lot of times, people. You know, I mean, I have not done the things that I wanted to do with my life. And looking back, I've got a lot of things I wish I'd made a different choice, but I used to beat myself up about that Aquatech choice, thinking I should have done that differently, but I'm glad I stood up to that, even if it did cost me. Okay. I used to really give myself a hard time about that because I had, you know, it. Yeah. Yeah. But now
career,
no, I did the right thing.
The money.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep. I lived off disability and my parents for most of my life after that. It was probably 10 years before I had moved back in here, but I didn't get too far away again. You know, it was hard. It was hard. And I used to give myself a hard time because, you could have done, well, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda. What matters is what I do right now. And I'm not going to shut up about it again. I told the truth then. I'm going to tell the truth now. And I'm not going to, you know, they're going to have to, look, my dad told me about the Liberty, USS Liberty, and about all of this stuff years ago. And I just, I knew he was right, but I just didn't act on it. I didn't act on what I knew about the pharmaceuticals. I was still going to look for the doctor to fix me, to heal me. No physician healed myself. And, I have had a whole lot more success doing things my way than their way. I just put it that way, Richard. I mean, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. I can only say that there's some things that I believed to be true everywhere and every time, but I didn't act on them enough in this special case scenario of me to make a good enough difference in my life until recently. And now I've started to notice some results, and I come on here to tell y'all people about it, that maybe you could do the same thing. I know it might sound crazy, and you know, I know we're having a lot of fun and dropping all this stuff, but RBN is when I started to do this, when I started talking to you guys. That's when I started to make a change in myself, when I started talking to you. And I just want to encourage people, and I like RBN. It helped me out that way, so I try to be here for RBN too. I'm glad to be part of it, Mr. Stadmiller's Neighborhood, we call it. And I was wondering the other day, there's a whole bunch of people that died on November 5th too, besides him, Bill Cooper, and Guy Fawkes, but that would be an interesting subject sometime. It almost seems like that's a special day for these people too, in a lot of ways. Like the 420 was, like you said, the Fuhrer's birthday, but I know that 419 is at that time period up to May 1st. It's like this sacrifice season with the Satanists, and That's another thing I was thinking of looking into the other day. Can I plug what I'm going to have on tomorrow, sir? Let me let y'all know that tomorrow on Absolutely. Thought Crime Live, I'm going to have Richard Hamblin, who did a really good synopsis of breakdown history of the militia history and the gun control laws, and he's got a case itself that he went over. And then I've had a gentleman on before named Simon Roche. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, from Swedlanders. He's from South Africa, and he lived through what happened in South Africa that's just about to happen here now. And both of those guys know each other. I met one of them at the Dixie Republican event, Mr. Simon, and you know, we're going to talk about what happened there and how things are coming down the line here just about the same way. So if you guys out there want to have a question for either of those guys, and you know, it looks, you saw what happened to George Floyd riots. That's nothing compared to what's going on in South Africa and what's happening now. It's like someone posted on the Facebook today Simon had told him that we are about a decade behind them. And you know, look at a decade ago and we're over there. I think that, you know, maybe we're not, a little more than that, but they're starting to bring the monuments down here, and that's a telling sign of what time it is in this country. It's like we are in the middle right now of the latest Bolshevik revolution. That's what's happening here right now. It's not going to happen. It is happening. The commies are in power. Like, there's not – somebody mentioned how there was – I forgot the number of Jews they said that were in the Biden administration now, but all of the cabinet. And it's like none of these people – Greg Reese put a thing – have registered a oath of office and stuff. So, you know, we have a fake government that's just exterminating the white guy here. You know, it's like that's what's going on. Okay, I believe that that's what's happening, and I'm a thought criminal. Like I said, they said I was crazy all my life, but now it's thought crime, and I just am going to tell you people that's how I see it. If anybody out there disagrees with me, call me tomorrow and tell me so. Thanks, Richard. I appreciate you letting me do that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you doing it. And I mean, I do think that there's a lot of overlapping. Sure, they like to depopulate in general, but they certainly want to get rid of the white people. As far as these other agendas and wars, what I was basically trying to say regarding nation states and looming World War III, I think that both are true at the same time, that there are people who are specifically in high positions in each nation state to do the bidding of the global internationalists. And at this point, that would really be to deter away from a full-on, you know, mass destruction of the planet with a World War III. And others, though, who are just hardliner fundamentalist types who I'm sure would. So I'm sure there are people in both Israel and Iran who would want this to be the way they can get a war started. But then there are others in each country who are committed to, you know, keeping things business as usual, basically, and just using the threat of this for various, you know, persuasive means. What do you think?
Yeah, there's definitely the class that's in charge, the super class, the predator class. Most of them all go along with the World Economic Forum and this agenda at some level. They may have their own personal axes to grind in their own family to take care of, but, you know, they, like you said, they went along with the COVID thing mostly. And there was supposedly, Robbie was talking about the cluster of deaths in Iran and there are other places around the country where there was supposedly a cluster. And it looked like there may even have been targeted things there, because I don't believe that there was a release of a general virus that had happened. That they did not go around the world, but it does preclude that there were infectious clones used. They can make these infectious clones, and you know, that has been done. Whether that was done, and then they targeted certain areas to start the whole thing, along with propaganda with the psyops and the people falling dead in China and stuff like that. And, you know, all of this stuff is programming to us to fear. But either way, the things could happen. It could have happened that way as far as the excess deaths in Iran and a few other places. And the places that – the only ones that didn't go along with it, you know, the guy, the African – lead potentate, whatever. I don't know if he's president or leader or some kind. I think he might have been the president who tested the papaya goat and something else. And they tested, you know, he was ridiculing the test, and he ended up getting killed. The ones that did not go along with this, some of them ended up their expectancy sometimes kind of precarious, some of those countries, who's in charge for how long anyway. But still, I think it probably had to do with their stance on this plandemic. And too many, I mean, our governments are corrupt, okay? They're going along with this all over the world. Not just that, but think about the hate speech in Scotland, what they've been doing. You know, their police in Scotland are too busy answering hate crime, bias incidents, to look into real crime now. And that's what's going to happen all over. It's arrested this woman for praying in her head in the UK. That kind of thing they want to bring here. And I believe that the country, the United States, the landmass, the people in the different states are going to split along lines of that. If there's a real split, it's like some people are going to just keep trying to enforce all that BS, especially your governments. As long as we keep voting more of them in, the only thing... I mean, everybody's still out, and I hear it riding, doing, you know, working. I hear the local talk radio every once in a while. I try to get RBN on my. I have to. I end up having to call the number and then play it through the cars to listen. So that's kind of, I don't always get to. I'll just turn the radio on every once in a while and notice that the local radio, they are hard into the politics, man. It's like, once we get our guys in there, we're going to change it all. We're going to fix things. And no, they're not. They're all bought by the same weaponized piles of money that are playing this whole thing. We got to stop looking to that as a solution. And also, people will want to say, well, it depends on who your sheriff is, yada, yada, and all. And then that's been used as a psyop a lot too by these people to ID tag and trace too. They coming after people that in different law enforcement. I saw recently that had associations with the constitutional sheriff's thing and firing them with those, you know, that ID them, track, get, you know, a lot of the things they're doing are to ID tag and eliminate us in different ways. Us, as I'm saying, people who would oppose them. And that has gotten to a whole new level. That's kind of the fifth generation warfare thing that's going on. Before, like when the commies took over in Cambodia, they would kill everybody that had a pair of glasses because they figured they could read. They were intelligent. They might give them problems, so they automatically did away with them. That was that selection process. Now identifying the thought criminal is a little more subtle. Hence the FBI come into that. Let me talk to you about a person you met online. It's like, that's what time it is in the U.S. now, y'all. I mean, we are living during our time that Solzhenitsyn wrote about in the USSR. That's what's happening here now, okay? And it's not going to happen. It's happening right now. That's kind of the point I'm trying to say. And, you know, a world war ensued right after that. And I don't think that they would like to have the war go so hot that it'll destroy the planet all at once. No, they want to build it up and cull as many of us as they can. Because, I mean, it's an anti-human system. It has nothing to do with making life better or enhancing living room for people. It's about power and control and wiping more of us out whenever they get ready. We've got to flip. It's not a – there are no economic solutions. There are no political solutions. You know, there are no political solutions, okay? Not a military solution either. It's all a spiritual thing. You have to change the way that you think and look at the world, and so does everybody else for this thing to work out. And, you know, I'm not real hopeful that that's going to happen. So in the meantime, I'm going to do the best I can to get ready for what's coming with other people who know that it's coming. And that's what the things at the Dixie Republic are all about, and other things where people meet up like this. And also, look, if it's dangerous, like I said, join in some organization. People, the peoplesrights.org, I'm sure they got all of those people tagged too. And I've texted, rights to 8321, I believe is what the number was. And I didn't officially join, but I got all their information, and I'd sure love to go to a meetup with people that have that much dedication to rifle liberty or protecting their rights. You know, it's like but that puts us on a list. So what? You know, I've been on their list a long time. These people need to realize somehow that they're not the only ones that can make lists, okay? We know who they are and what they've done, and we need to start publishing it. That's why Julian Assange is in jail now and threatened with execution for telling the truth, okay? And more people need to grow a pair and do that, because this information's out there. You know, I just don't have the tech savvy to put all that stuff up and everything. But look, that they have been doing this to us. It's obvious. They brag about it. Okay, they read their papers. The war games that they do happen to come true. That ain't no mistake. You know, and we can joke about it all we want. It's a big club and we ain't. But, you know, it's this little club and you ain't. Mine's a little club. It ain't a big club. It's a very small circle of friends, people. It's called the Remnant. That's my club. And anyway, I'm sorry. I'm kind of going off a little bit here. We are just riffing without the breaks and stuff and the drops. But thanks for asking me to come on, brother. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show, too, because Richard's really very, very knowledgeable about the Second Amendment history and stuff. And this best thing about this, for me, aside from the change that I'm created in myself while doing it, is the people I've gotten to talk to who know so much more than I do that I can learn from. You know, and that's what I've been trying to do more than anything else. I'm not trying to say I'm the authority, and I'm not satire either. I'm exactly who I say I am. You know, I'm a real person hiding in plain sight. And I'm kind of, you know, some people, I ain't here LARPing, man. I do this because I don't want this to happen to my people, and I got grandkids. And, you know, I'm trying to salvage what's left of my torn apart family. You know, these masters of war have done a good job, and what they didn't do, we did to ourselves. That tearing the family apart and this country apart. We've been under the boot of the United States since Andrew Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton was the first president of that particular entity, okay, if you want to call it that, because ever since they got that Constitution pushed through, then it hasn't been a union of confederated nations and states anymore. It's been an empire, and they've been using that empire to exert their will on first this continent and now the rest of the world. And it's time it stopped. That's just where I see it. And it took me a while to get there. Okay, it took me a while to realize that's what's been going on. But I see it now. Some days I feel like that guy in the movie They Live puts on the sunglasses and, oh my gosh, you know. But that's really what's going on, y'all, and has been. You know, and what do you do about it? You know, the best I can. That's all I do. Like I said, I do the best I can, and I do as I'd be done it to. And that's just what I stand for, the rightful liberty and the NAP, they called it, the non-aggression principle. I've been sucked in to politics again a few times, and I see the threats that are coming. I know they're coming for us, that we are the thought criminals, and especially the white, straight white thought criminals. You know, we are their enemies. They plan to eliminate us. I realize that, so I'm going to react accordingly. But, you know, I'm trying not to say anything that'll get me killed or arrested. But, you know, at this point, we've already done that. It's to the point that thinking for yourself is a crime. There is no such thing as a hate crime. There's just hate speech. There's just speech that they hate, you know, especially if you call them out now. Reporting a crime is a crime. That's why, if it's not, why is Julian Assange in jail? You know, that's what we live in, brother. And I'll go down fighting. I may die destitute and bleeding, but I am not going to keep my head down and my mouth shut. So that's kind of where I am, brother. Yeah, I'll toss it back to you with that.
Well put. No, very well put. All there. And, I mean, yes, trying to fix our own lives, that is, like you say, the only thing that's really worth putting effort this far in the game. And communities, certainly local communities, is a way to, well, defeat what is planned for us. Eventually those could be, you know, very outlander. Like, I believe, and I'm sorry that we lost our other panelists, but early in the first hour, I believe I heard Andy in Texas mention the Hunger Games. That's one that you like to mention a lot as well, Stephen. You want to tell the listeners why?
Well, that's kind of what they want to do to us, you know. It's about the super class, they call it, that's in charge there, and I don't know. It's the whole thing is like a psyop, but they want everybody impoverished except for those few who are, you know, the elites, and they get to live pretty much any way they want. And I've seen a few of those, and resistance does happen there. But you know, I don't know, the Hunger Games. Yeah, I think that's the world they plan to create, and they pretty much have. It's kind of like a metaphor for what we have with the wars is as our Hunger Games. Okay, we have these kids that we send off to fight and die in wars for them. Let's face it, for Israel, basically lately, but never for defending us. Never defend our rights or our territory. That's the only reason anybody should go to war. If you don't go to war, it's like Smedley Butler wrote that in War is a Racket. Now, that's the only reasons a people, a nation, should ever go to war. And if they don't, then something else is going on.
Well, many suggest this is all planned well in advance, you know, by those with the most power and wealth. And so we would therefore have to assume under that premise. Well, obviously, I agree that October 7th, with the 50-year anniversary of the Six-Day War, which actually had the Liberty happen just before it was over. Isn't that right?
No, that was in 67. That was in the Six-Day War that the Liberty was attacked. It was when they took the Temple Mount during that war for the first time, and that was 7 years before, 7 years after the Liberty. This had a lot more. The 73 had a lot more to do, I think, with the petrodollar, but that was a place that supposedly we came close to a nuclear confrontation then too, because there was an alert.
Yeah, okay, because yeah, I had my notes mixed up there.
That's okay. So, yeah, okay, we actually came even closer during 67 to a nuclear conflagration, because we were headed to New Cairo when they thought the Liberty was going to sink. That was in 67, though. Now, in 73, the Soviets flew in tactical nukes to Egypt so that that there was an alert, and that supposedly if one, you know, maybe they would stay out of it, they would nuke Israel and Egypt would nuke each other and we could stay out of it. But then once the Soviets, you know, it came close in the alert then, but I think it really came closer in 67 from what I've read about it, with, you know, Liberty, what I've learned now with the Liberty. Yeah. You know, right. I wasn't aware of all that. The Liberty was planned a year earlier. Operation Cyanide is a book that was written about all of that too. But and ironically, that's disappeared from the web. The PDF version is gone now too. If you try to find Operation Cyanide about the USS Liberty, there used to be a PDF you could read, and now that's not there, and now they want $400 for it on Amazon. So what's going on there? You know, there's right. Another telling thing. Yes, sir. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. Go ahead, Richard.
No, please. And but so they used some similar tactics, strategy, as they did in 67, in 73. And I mean, as far as 50 years later, though, you know, us having October 7th last year, this get kicked off, that could very easily be believed to have been planned well in advance. Even this whole 10-year escalation leading up to this Ukrainian conflict, I mean, could that have all been planned somewhat as, you know, we want to get under Russia's skin to a certain extent. We want this region to be in turmoil. We want to lose a lot of the native population and more before it's over. I mean, there are a lot of motives. Others have suggested a second Israel, either to act simultaneously or if they lose the initial Israel, to fundamentalist saber rattling that they can't back up in the end. But
they have these plans to break up Russia into smaller states, right? The maps exist in oh, I don't know, the Rand Corporation maybe is where I saw one of them, but all of the Strat 4 and all these other places, they project possibilities into the future, and that's one of the one main ones they want. But I think they've bitten off a lot more than they could chew at this point. That this military, this what they relied on in the past, this woke now U.S. BS, you know, this joke of the whole world. It's to the point, like I've said, it's like this is to the point where the Redcoats. Everybody hated those Redcoats, you know, back, and that's what we are now all over the world. We're the new Redcoats. And I don't know that they went through a thing with the same woke. They didn't have that kind of thing as that empire really didn't fall until after World War II. So that the comparison loses somewhat there. But at the moment, our military is to the, you know, it's more like the Roman Legion after all of the barbarians came in, and we're, you know, that they are bringing in just bloodthirsty. And I mean, it's just ridiculous that the people that they think that they're going to go to fight a world war, the military they got now, that's just, it's a social experiment or something. It's just, yeah, that they are crazy. They have something else in mind, I do believe, and it probably is a mass depopulation, just like Andy was saying, that they want that to happen. And in the meantime, I guess they're putting up the appearance of business as usual or something while that's going on. And that things definitely are ramping up, these apocalyptic things. You know, they've been wanting to have this war with Iran for how long, certain factions. You remember how many times, I don't remember how many times, but many times he stood in front of the UN with the cartoon bomb filling in another layer, a little, you know, he's right there near the top. They almost got a nuke. They almost got a nuke. You know, it's like, that's ridiculous. I mean, why would they use a nuke except to defend themselves against your genocidal aggression, Stinky? Okay, what happened to Saddam when he gave up his WMDs? What happened to Gaddafi when they stopped their program? You know, you are an existential threat to the planet, you and your kind, okay? And these people want to protect themselves against you. That's what it boils down to, if they have any sense. But, you know, they get infiltrated other ways too, and in many ways, I think the whole thing is a show too. But I do can understand why people, I mean, you want to, I want to have a shotgun behind the door if somebody comes. And you don't you think somebody should have that right? You know, a country that, especially if the neighborhood is known for being having home break-ins, you know, and we're known to do that to homes or to countries. So same analogy, you know, if it's your house, you're going to want to protect it. And these countries saw that what happened was supposedly the U.S. nuked two cities in Japan. If you don't want that to happen to you, then you need to have some of your own. That's why, you know,
there's a formula. There's a formula for keeping the masses under control, though, right, mm-hmm. Stephen? You want a constant sense of, if not warfare, being on the verge of warfare. Mm-hmm. You want that constantly to hold over people's heads. Both as a reason for all the conditions and something to fear, you know, a reason why you want your federal government, your bureaucracy in place. But then also, I mean, scarcity, they need engineered scarcity as a constant as well, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that also would drive up the prices of stuff. We can't have abundance. We can't have you producing for yourself and making yourself healthier and having a better life the way the Amish do, disconnected from this beast. That might make a lot more sense to me.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought you were going to mention, too, when you mentioned that African country where he's testing the papaya and what have you with the COVID tests. Yeah, we also had the Amish, though, who genuinely resisted the COVID mRNA, you know, narrative.
Yeah, they have some good ideas. You know, they have avoided a lot of the problems that the rest of society has, although they're not immune. I mean, I'm sure that there's plenty of problems there too. But the vaccines, without the vaccines, the health is a lot better. Without the additives in the food, your health is a lot better. That's obvious. Without all the stress of modern life, then your health is going to be a lot better. If you
had more temptation through all of the vices of modern life, if you will. You know, they didn't have that in the Amish community, so they weren't going to sell out for the COVID agenda, right?
That makes sense, yeah. They didn't fall for the H1N1 stuff either, or any of those other vaccine programs. I mean, modern medicine, everything, it's all by way of deception. Modern medicine is by way of deception. They want you to believe you're going up there to get healthy, but you're getting screened so that they can sell you some magic potions.
They couldn't be bribed. You know, the Amish community cannot be bribed, and that's what it comes down to. This African leader who was testing, let's see, it was a couple things. One was a papaya, and then what was the other?
A goat, I believe, something else too. Yeah, I believe those three
inanimate
things.
Inanimate object.
Maybe it was just plain water, you know, just distilled water too, I think.
And maybe he tested something that wasn't even biological, right? Inorganic based something too he tested. Anyhow, they're look at Africa and India's past, though, with vaccines. You know, is why they're skeptical. Obviously, some of those places... at this point, I have had enough, you know, and can't see that there's going to be anything good from the CDC, the WHO, Gates, or their ilk.
Yeah, they got wise to them long ago. And I think they will try to push a new pandemic with the bird flu or something. Supposedly, we've been sprayed with biological stuff here just recently during the eclipse. People showed the planes and exactly what plane. I don't know what they were spraying, they chemtrailed real heavy that day. Mike was talking about the eclipse down in Austin earlier, and people kept posted pictures of the chemtrailing all along there. And then there were just a few other planes, not the regular chemtrail planes, but the C-130, I believe is what the number was. And they're specialized sprayer planes that they had up there for biological. So I don't know what they sprayed, if they did, but they want us to believe they did. So they put that out there. And now, you know, right afterwards, I was sick for a few days. But I always get sick this time of year, you know, and just not nearly as bad as I used to get. You can hear the allergies hitting me now. You know, I don't know. Fear is the biggest. That's the virus that spreads the most and the fastest. I'm just not going to live in fear. You know, I'm going to ride the wind till it's gone. Do what best I can. I am going to have that show tomorrow and talk about people, what happened to South Africa and what did they suggest we do here. And people banded together in suburbs because there are no cops. There's nobody was coming to help them. And they've been telegraphing that stuff, this Department of Homeland, whatever, this DHS, has been briefing sheriffs and people who have come out and said what they told them, that there's going to be a big attack and you're not going to be able to handle it. You're going to be on your own for a while, and they're pumping that up. So we need to know. I mean, you need to know who your neighbors are. You need to be what are you going to do? They kept saying, okay, the power's going out, and the internet's going down, and all this. And I don't know. It didn't happen, did it? It's still there, and none of these things. Potentially, none of these things will happen. Maybe they'll make peace. Maybe they'll leave Gaza, you know? Maybe they'll let them be. Maybe we'll have Trump Towers in Gaza after he's elected, huh? I mean, boy, ain't that. I had that thought the other day. Just like, yeah, because no matter what, they're going to get their way. That's what they think anyway. The whole world's waking up to that BS, you know? That they realize they've been bought off or threatened, you know? That's why they follow these people, and there's outrage. But you know, who does anything? We'll see if Iran does anything that makes any difference. I hope that they don't play into the PSYOP and ramp this war up to make it worse and worse. You know, the way to stop this is not to win a war. It's to stop fighting wars. Sorry, that's the only way to win. I know that's cliche and all, and it's at the end of that War Games movie, but it's the truth. What benefit do we get from this military-industrial complex? Okay, the technology could be flipped around and used to enhance people's lives instead of try to kill and control people. Now, unless we make that basic fundamental change in humanity, we're doomed, period. That's what it boils down to. And I don't know how to go about making that change. I'm not smart enough to do it myself. And but people out there are, you know, these people that have all of this money, they could change the orientation of what they're doing. They could try to enhance people's lives. They could have respect for all life instead of trying to conquer it and suck off of it like psychic vampires or, you know, that they literally are. I think that's what this boils down to. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good note to poise as we part here. And you mentioned a little earlier, you know, that these people are not the only ones making lists.
Yes.
And I liked that you're using that quote. You know, actually, John Stadmiller had used that quote to Morris Dees of the SPLC.
We have
that documented. You are not the only one making
awesome
lists, Morris.
Oh, cool, man. Maybe that's where I heard it from. I don't remember here. I haven't listened to a lot of his stuff. I knew who he didn't really realize he was who he was when I joined here. But yes, that's it, man. We need to put these people down in a list. And, you know, that's kind of probably, you know, that's the kind of thing that gets you. You persona non grata, just Bill Cooper and him and now me. Thanks. That's yeah. But I'll tell you, what it boils down to is that we have the power to change things, and these people are more vulnerable than they know. Okay. They think that they're invincible. Okay. But they got people next to them, you know, that maybe one day they realize they got nothing left to lose. They're going to worry about their family back home. You know, when you if you pull that big balloon off, okay,
well,
then they might take you out. Oh, we out of time? So, all right.
Yeah, I'm looking at the clock. I'm looking forward to your show tomorrow morning. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you, Richard. Thanks. And y'all support RBN. Thought Criminals, join me in the morning.
Yes, folks. And until next time, transcend the construct. Regards.